So we are holding on Noonday's only by the end of the narrow one. We're in the middle of quoting a Bryce as follows. Might as well start from the second line of the Almud. Almud Rami Bahama, Hai Tana Sava Shirai Mahdi. The Tana we were discussing previously, the question, does anybody hold that pouring out the Shirayim on the Mizrach HaChitzon is an act that prevents the korban from being kosher? Before we talked about one possibility that maybe Rabbi Shmuel holds that way, then we said that no. We brought a Braisa, which explained the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva difference. Yeah. But Rami Bahama says, Hai Tana Sava Shirai Mahdi. The Tana, the following Braisa, does hold that Shirayim on Mahdi. Namely as follows, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says about a chafas, a koyan am a chafet oisa, the Pasuk says the koyan who does the chitui, who does the avoida of the korban, who does the korban of it, oisa is a meat. And then the Pasuk continues, he's the one who eats it. And as I said yesterday, it doesn't actually mean he's the only one who eats it. We'll deal with later on in the Sechta, who exactly gets to eat from korbanos. The answer is everybody who was Tahor and otherwise able to do the avodah at that time, who belongs to that mission, who belongs to that day's base of. So it wasn't only the Kohen who did the avodah, it's anybody else who was qualified, who would have been qualified to do the avodah, basically. Plus Balim Mumin, because the Torah says specifically that Balim Mumin can eat from korban. But none of the other psalim, none of the Tmeim, none of the Onanim.
Is that Balim Mumin can?
Balim Mumin can, the Torah says specifically. Okay. Anyway, so when the Pasuk says a koyin amachate oisa, what is the word oisa? Is a mute. What is it coming to teach us? It means oisa shenitza damalamaila, and only if the korban has blood placed on the top half of the mizbeach, as is supposed to be done with an animal chatas, v'loy oisa shenitza damalamaila. Not if the blood was placed on the lower half, because again, as we learned earlier in the Sefer, we had Shmuel saying, okay, the korban is kosher, but you can't eat it, and Rabbi Yochanan saying the korban is completely possible.
How do you know oisa means
the... Yeah, you know that oisa means some kind of meat. So therefore, so you say like this, why do you even need a meat for that? Where are you getting the idea that if the blood was placed on the wrong part of the mizbeach, what makes you think the korban should be kosher anyway? The reason is like this. In the Klal Shenema, because you have a pasuk in Parashat Re'eh, which we've quoted before in our Masechta, the damas v'chacha yishrafa al mizbeach v'gomer, the pasuk says the blood of your korbanos should be poured on the mizbeach, and then the pasuk continues, v'abosu tochel, and the meat you can eat. So, l'mad mil l'mitonin b'machan arba, so therefore that teaches us about korbanos, such as the chattas, which need to have the blood applied in four places, shem nosen matonah, that if you only did one matonah, kitter, then you accomplished kapara, as we learned before about the shamai versus the tefil. Because Yishrafa implies just one Shikha. Therefore, now that you have that...
Where do you know that this would have to be on four corners?
You know, that's the point. No, that would have to be on the four corners by a chatas. We know from the Pasuk says, it should be on the four corners. But Vedam's Vachati Yishrafa teaches us that B'dieved, even though it's supposed to be put on all four corners, if you did it in only one place, then it's kippur. So now, based on that, you would think, Yachol Achani Tonin L'mayla Shanosin L'mata Kippur, so you would think... Therefore, that even if the blood was supposed to go on the top half of the mizbeach, then if you put them on the bottom half, then it should be mechaper. That is why, so far we're saying that is why we need the pasuk according to mechate oisa to tell us otherwise. Tell us a miut that nevertheless the chitui, the avoda, the zrika has to be done properly, otherwise it can't be eaten.
In the
pshat of oisa just means it, but it meaning as opposed to something else. Well, yeah, because the word chafas is feminine, but the point is it as opposed to something else. Only it, the word oisa means it, implying only it as opposed to something else. So the it we're saying, so far what we're saying is like this. Given that we know that matana achat is enough, even by a chafas, according to the syllable, which is halacha, then you would think the same thing applies even if that matana achat was placed on the wrong half of the mizbeach. That is why the pasuk says oisa to teach us that not. However,
it has to be one matana,
but it has to be in the right place.
The right place.
Right. However, the Braisa continues, v'dinhu, on the other hand, on the face of it, you should not need a pasuk, because you should be able to derive it, as you should be able to derive it by opinion as follows. Nemru domim l'mayla v'nemru domim l'matan. We have blood where the Torah tells us of a certain kind of chatos. It's supposed to go on the top half, namely chatos of animals. V'nemru domim l'matan, and then we have another type of chatos where the Torah tells us that the blood goes on the bottom half. By implication, because we'll learn in more detail in the next parak, that it's by implication, because the Torah says that the blood trickles down to the yisoid. So if it trickles down to the yisoid, and why is that it starts out on the bottom half, closer to the yisoid. Whatever, that we'll deal with when we get into the details of oila to oif and chasa to oif in the next parak. But anyway, the point is that And the point is, ma domim hamurin lamatan shenatan lamayla lekeeper. Now, just like when it comes to the one, b'chatasoiv, where the blood is supposed to go on the bottom half, if you were to do it on the top half, you did not accomplish kapara, because there, Davka says, chatasi, which means, again, the word he is a mute, meaning only if it was done properly, is it kosher, and if not, then not. Ach domim hamurin lamaytan, elamayla, and nothing lamatan lekeeper. Therefore, by analogy, by binyan av, you should be able to say the same logic goes in reverse. Blood that's supposed to go on the top half, a chatas behema, if you put it on the bottom half, it shouldn't be good. So again, we're back to the question, why do you need the word oisa to tell us that it's no good if you could derive it from that analogy, from that binyan av? And the answer is, the Braisa says, loy, no, because that's not
enough, because it's saying...
Because you're saying, you're making a parallel over here. You're saying the same way as a... No, not really one plus against another, but the logical, it's a logical deduction, kind of, basically. The same way
that's
as we... Binyan Av is basically, we find something said by one din and we apply it to parallel din. So if we're saying that...
It doesn't have to be close.
No, that would be a heckish.
That would be a heckish
if they were false. But no, the idea is, in other words, again, chatasoiv, the Torah insists the blood should be on the bottom half, and because it says chatasi, if you were to put it on the top half, the Torah makes it clear that it is possible.
Right.
By analogy, therefore, by binyan av, the same should be true in reverse. By chatas behema, the Torah tells it goes on the top half, and therefore, by binyan av, therefore you should say if you put it on the bottom half, it's no good.
Right.
So back to, why do you need the word oisa to tell us that if we've been ready to do that logically? The answer is loy. No, because that's not a valid analogy. Im amarta b'chachtoinim, because you could say, you know why blood that goes on the bottom half is possible, that's supposed to go on the bottom half is possible if you put it on the top half. B'chachtoinim shenitonim b'nissin elamayla, why it's possible with a chatas ha'oiv, if you put the blood on the top half, you know why it's possible. She'ein sofim elamayla, because that blood is never going to go on the top half. There's no part of the blood of a chatas ha'oiv that is supposed to go on the top half of the mizbeach. You squeeze it out towards the bottom of the mizbeach, and you press the rest, and then you press the bird against the mizbeach to squeeze out as much as possible of the rest.
It's also
a chatas oiv we're talking about. But the point is, all that blood that's supposed to go on the lower half, there's never any part of it that's supposed to go on the top half. There's no part of that avodah of a chatas oiv that involves putting blood on the top half. It's always on the bottom. So therefore, you could argue, therefore, fine, the Torah is saying if you put it on the top half, then no good. How do you want to compare that with the case of blood of a chatas behema, which is supposed to go on the top half, where mistakenly you put it on the bottom half? You could argue it's not so bad, because after all, you have some of that blood does end up going on the bottom half, because you have the shirayim are poured out onto the yisoid. And then the yisoid is on the bottom half of the mizbeach.
So you could argue
from the top to the bottom is not too bad, because anyway, some of it is going on the bottom. So we're back to, in that case, fine, that's where we'd need the pasuk oisa. We're going back and forth in this braisa, trying to figure out, this is a common way that these braisas in Teres Koyanim and the other midrash halacha, it's a very common way that they do that. We bring a pasuk, we state what it's supposed to teach us, and then we go back and forth, logically trying to deduce, why did the Torah need to tell us that when we could, deduced it some other way? And eventually we come out with why we need it. Okay. So the answer is, jamim shirayim apnimim yechichu. Fine, you want to argue that way, I can answer you back. Look at the case of blood that goes inside the hekel. Again, there's the chatoris apnimis, the karbonis of kippur, the parahelim dover, etc. Shiyesh mehen karavachos. Now with them, we know also there's blood of them that's supposed to be poured outside, namely the shirayim, goes on the yisoid and the mzeh of the mzeh system. V'im nosnen b'tchilu b'chutz l'kippur. But, on the other hand, if you were to go to begin with and do the avoda and do the zrika of that blood on the outer of the bayach, it would be no good. You have to do it in its proper places, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Kodesh, in the Nehel. So therefore, by analogy, you could say, so fine, big deal, so by a chatas behema, eventually you can do the shirayim on the bottom half. That doesn't show that, therefore, if you did the actual zrika on the bottom half, it would be more kosher. To begin with, it has to be in the right place. The shirayim is another aspect. Right. So we're back to, in other words, that in that case, we shouldn't need oisa.
We should not
need oisa, because in that case, it's obvious that if the blood of the chatas behema was put on the bottom half, it should be possible, because it'll be an exact parallel to the chatas oiv, and you can also prove it from chatas apnimis. However, the Braisa continues, Loi, no, because there's still a difference. In the mouth of a Domim Opinion, fine, you can say that that's true of blood that was brought into the Hegel. The difference is, She'en Mizbeach HaPnimi Mimarka. The difference is, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaZohar, does not complete the Avoida, because you still need another Avoida. Now that's the key phrase, that's the Mimarka literally means completing, man. The Shurdish Morach means to complete. It means to complete. It has a few different meanings in Hebrew, but one of them means to complete. It also means kind of like to clean or polish. Later on, we'll have in almost definitely Mirika or Shkifa. But basically, yeah, see. So the word Mirika, I mean, you know, among other things, means completion, right? The Mizbeach HaPnimi doesn't finish them in the sense there's another avodah that is needed. Now, this is the key phrase that Rami Bar Chama wrote this braisa for, because he's going to argue, what does this mean? That ain't a Mizbeach HaPnimi about that. That's what's gonna get us into our circle. Toma ve'oyonim. So how can you compare that to blood of a regular chatas behema, which is supposed to go on the top half of the mizbeach hakitzin? Try to kronos memarkas on them, because after all, the four fewer if need be, whatever. The maton is on the kronos, complete it, and that's it. If you didn't pour the shirayim, the korban is not possible. So therefore you should argue it's not like the Jamim Akhnimim, and therefore maybe if you put them on the bottom half it should be kosher,
v'diyavik. And that's
because it's not like the Jamim Akhnimim, because the Jamim Akhnimim you could argue, okay, you need, the difference is you can't say that because later on the Shirayim go on to the Yisod, therefore you could do them on the outer Mizbeach to begin with and it would be good. The difference is that there you see that the Matonis on the Mizbeach, you don't finish them off with the Mizbeach HaPnimi. You still have something else, there is something else that needs to be done with that blood. As opposed to the Chafetz Behema, a regular Chafetz that's brought on the outer Mizbeach, there's only one thing that needs to be done to it. Put the blood of it on the four corners of the Mizbeach, and that's it. Shirayim are not ma'akas. So there's a big difference.
You still have
to, but the Mizbeach HaPnimi, there's something else that needs to be done. That's what we have to figure out. What's that something? That's what Rami Bar Chama is going to say. On the face of it, it means the Shirayim. Okay. So now that we reach that point, then we see, okay, in that case, we should have a logical reason maybe to think that a chatas behema, that you did the blood on the bottom half, maybe the dievet should be kosher. Now we understand, Talmud Loma, that is why, to forestall that, the Torah tells us, oisa, meaning oisa, shenitzen domim lamayla, the korban is kosher only if the blood was put on the top half, velo shenitzen domim lamayla, and not if the blood was placed on the bottom half. Okay. Now that we have this braisa, the Rami Bar Chama says, "My she'ena mizbeach hapnimi memarkon." So we need the word oisa ultimately, because we could have thought based on this back and forth over here that maybe a chatas behema that you did the blood on the bottom half should be kosher.
Right. But we see that there's a difference between the
because of the chatas hapnimi and a chatas kitzah, and therefore we couldn't have thought. Therefore we thought maybe we could derive one from the other, but now we say we can't. Therefore, we wouldn't have a source to say that the chatas chitzona is possible if you do it on the wrong half, except for the word oisos. So, Rami Bar Chama says, "My she'ena mizbeach hapnimi memarkon." What do you mean in the braisa when you say about the domim hapnimim that the mizbeach hapnimi does not complete them? Lav elu shirayim. On the face of it, the braisa means that you still have to do the shirayim, and without that, the korban is incomplete. So therefore, that would mean the Tana of this Braisa then evidently holds that the Shvichas Shirayim, when it comes to Chatzaris HaPnimius, is Ma'akir.
That's where
he gets from, that there must be some Tana who says that. Omalei Rava, so Rava says to him, no, you can't necessarily understand the Braisa that way, because Yehochi takes the Kavah Chomer. Because if so, if you're going to say that the Shirayim are Ma'akir, if you're going to say the Shirayim are Ma'akir, then the braisa still didn't need to bring a pasuk that was a chatas chitzona that was done lamasa, it'll be possible, because we could have learned it ihochi teitz of a kavachomer. We could have managed to learn it with a kavachomer without needing the pasuk oisa. If you're going to say that the shirayim with a chatzaris apnimi is on the after the point of the tana, then you could make from that a kavachomer to say that a chatas chitzona that was done on the bottom half is possible. And you wouldn't need a pasuk. How would you do that? Ma shirayim asnimiyim shesoifan chover b'chus. Ma doth the shirayim of the blood that was brought inside the hekel, where in the end you have a chover, you have an absolute requirement to do them b'chus. Because again, according to you, Rami Bar Chama, according to your understanding of the braisa, you absolutely have to do those shirayim on the yisod, and it's not from the korban as possible. And yes, asan b'tchila b'chutz lo tikur. Yes, if you were to start the sprinkling on the outer mizbeach, it would be no good because you have to do the sprinkling in their proper places inside the hekel. And tonim l'mayra, well, then you should argue in that case when you have a chafas behema where the blood is supposed to go on the top half. Now, there's no absolute requirement to put the shirayim on the yisoid, because even you, Rabbi Bachama, are not saying that the Tana of this bright holds the shirayim by a chafas besona are ma'akiv. You just say by chafas ha'pnimis, you say ma'akiv. So then, how much more so the one tiny tana l'mayla, she'ein sofen chovel l'masa, where there's no absolute obligation to put them on the bottom half, because if you didn't do the shirayim, it's still kosher with the yevid. If you didn't do the shirayim, for sure it's kosher. Everybody agrees with that.
The only question is for the pnimis, right.
We
know that from where?
Because we didn't see it. So far we haven't seen any Tana who holds up the one that they're... The truth is, Tosfos actually discusses earlier in the Sefer, brings a possibility that Avin Tam wants to say that maybe in fact there'd be an opinion who says that it's ma'akiv even by the Chafas Chitzona. But that wouldn't be, even Rami Bar Chama though is not proving this, doesn't have that from this Braisa, because the fact is the Braisa is not taking that view. So Rami Bar Chama is an Amor, but we're talking about even when we discussed before, maybe if we say Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva holds of this, if we say that Rabbi Shmuel holds of this concept, then maybe he would extend it to Chatoris Chatonis. But the Tana of this Braisa that Rami Bar Chama is assuming holds that wouldn't agree with that concept.
How do we know that?
Because we see that the logic he's using doesn't allow for it.
How does it doesn't allow for it?
Because that's what we're saying over here. He mentioned that because he was discussing that the chatas chitzona, the blood does end up going on the bottom half, but he didn't say anything about it being active if it does. Otherwise, he would have mentioned that. Fine, but therefore, Rava is also pointing out that based on your understanding of the Braisa, Rami Bar Chama, you would have to say that he doesn't, and therefore he could have learned it with a Kavah Chomer without needing the pasuk. But again, when it comes to the chatas chitzona, you're not required to put the blood on the bottom half. Whereas with the Chafas HaPnimis, you are required to.
Right.
And yet, so if with the Chafas HaPnimis that you're required to, still if you did the original Matanis there, it's possible, how much more so the Chafas HaSona, where you're not even required to put it on the bottom half, passed on the Tchilul Mata, and then you went and did the Zrika to begin with on the bottom half, and again Shalai Kippur, how much more so wouldn't accomplish Kapara? So therefore, in other words,
if it's not required in the Chitzenia,
if the inner one is required on the bottom half, but still if you did it on the bottom half to begin with, it's possible because you have to do it in the Hechel, how much more so the Chafas Chitzona, the Chafas Behema, where you don't even have a requirement to put it on the bottom half, then how much more so putting it on the bottom half isn't going to be good. And therefore, again, you wouldn't need the Pasuk. The fact that Tana of the Braisa doesn't do that shows that it's not a question of whether of Shirayim being massive or not.
Okay, so since in the pnimis, you do need
to put it on the outer mizbeach, but yet you can't do the original zrikas over there. You have to do the original zrikas in the hekel.
Right, and if you do them in mata, then
if you do them lata all of my other fossils, if you do them anywhere on the outer mizbeach,
so much more.
How much more so the chafas chitzona, which is what we on the top half, where there's not even a requirement to put anything on the bottom half. That if you put it on the bottom half to begin with, the zrikas on the bottom half, then it'll be possible.
Because the only requirement is on the top.
There's only
the
requirement. Exactly. So Ella, so Robert says, okay, in that case, what does the Braisa mean? So what does the Braisa mean when it says about the Chatoris HaPnimi is that the Mizbech HaPnimi does not complete them? It means Bilvad. It's not the only thing that you need. Ella Parosas, because with the Chatoris HaPnimi, you need also the sprinklings in front of the Parosas. And the ones of Yom Kippur are also the ones in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, you can't say, in other words, again, the point of comparison or the point of contrast in the Braisa is, a chafas chitzona, there's only one area where you need to put the blood, namely on the corners of the mizbeach. As opposed to a chafas hapnimis, where at the very least you need two, and for some of them three areas that you need to put it on, the parosas and the mizbeach alav, and for the ones of Yom Kippur, the Kodesh Kedoshim as well. So therefore, that's the point.
Once
Yom Kippur, they only do the parashah. And then the mizbeach azal, which we say every day in Gaza, right? Part of when it's rough and right? But that's what it is. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, that was our mission actually. So that's the point that the Braisa is making. Nothing to do with Shirayim. Okay. Fine. Tanana Bono, we learn another Braisa, which from this Braisa we're also going to try to show that there's somebody who holds that Shiraya Mama active.
Now, the it has nothing to do with
Shiraya. So nothing to do with Shiraya. This Braisa that Rami Bachama brought has nothing to do with Shiraya. Has to do just with the fact that the blood that's sprinkled on the Zeh HaZahav, that's not the only thing that's done with the blood of that curve. It's also sprinkled in front of the parish. That's required.
So therefore,
that's the point. That it's different, therefore, from the Chatzos Kesana, where there's only one area where the blood has to be put on the corners in the Zeh.
So we're rejecting that?
So in other words, from that I see, you don't have any proof that the Tana would hold that Shiraya Mama acted. In fact, according to Rava points out, you can prove that he doesn't hold Shiraya as Ma'akiv, otherwise he could have made a Kaaba Chaimer. Okay. Fine. But now another B'raisa. Tanan Abana, we learned a B'raisa, we learned this before. The Pasuk says at the end of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the Chila Mikaper, he should complete from atoning, from performing Kapara. Now why does it say, now that half of Pasuk is extra, the Chila Mikaper of the Kodesh, that Oyo Meidu Vesem Zeach is extra, because, okay, we know he did everything, what is it adding? It means, in Kippur Chila, if he did all the Kapara, if he did all the sprinklings that he was supposed to, then it's complete, then he's done the Kapara. The Imloy Kippur, Loy Kila, but if he didn't do all the Kapara, if he missed out any of the Matanas, then he didn't complete it, which we said before, Matan Achas Man Ma'akavet, with the ones of Yom Kippur, all 43 sprinklings have to be done, or else it's 47, if there's one mandamer, or else it's no good. Divir Abakira. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says, fine, but why are you darshining the Pasuk going backwards? The word Bechila is before the word Mikaker, but you're
darshining that before.
Yeah, we have it back on Dachman, yeah. You're explaining it, though, you're first explaining, in Kippur, if you accomplish Kapara, the full Kapara, Kila, then you finish everything you need to do. It's not enough. So, if Neymar lo Neymar, why don't we say it the other way around? In Kila Kippur, if he completed it, that only then is he Mechaper, the in like Kila lo Kippur. And if he didn't complete everything that he was supposed to do, then he wasn't Mechaper. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shein chisu achas mikol matonis. So it would mean, Rabbi Yehuda says, if he missed out any of the matonis, loy also v'loy form, then what he did didn't count for anything. Now, we learned from
in the pasuk
it says, v'chila and the nikaper. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm going to use that pasuk to teach us this concept of matona achas me'an me'akol. Rabbi Akiva doesn't really need it, because Rabbi Akiva actually says we learn it from the fact that at the end of the parasha of Yom Kippur over there, it says, V'hoisa zoit l'cham l'chukas olam, and whenever the Torah says about something chukah, it means it has to be done exactly the way it says. Rabbi Yehuda holds, though, we learned this previously, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that word chukah only refers to the things that are done in big day love on Bifnim, only the things that are done in the Kodesh Lefnai Bifnim, only the things that are done in the Kodesh Kodashim, whereas some of these sprinklings are being done only in the Kodesh, in the Hekel. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't learn from Chukah, therefore I need to learn it from the Chila Mikaper. So, my Benai, what we have to ask, what's the practical difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda? They both seem to ultimately be saying the same thing, that if you missed any of the Matanos, then you're not Yosef.
Based on different
sukkah. Yeah, fine. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi argue about what the point of the machlokes is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva. Chad Amar Mashmos Darshin Yisbenayu. One of them says there's no real difference between them. It's only how do we actually darshin the halacha from the psukim. That one learns it from Chukah and the other one learns it from the Chila Mikaper. But there's no real difference.
Mashmos
Darshin means from which pasuk do we hear to darshin. Ikavinaya with the difference between them. The Chadoma, the other one between Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shimon Levi, says Shiraim Ma'akim Ikavinaya. The other one says it's the question of whether Shiraim are Ma'akim, which is what we've been dealing with in this whole story over here. So according to that way of looking at it, we have a Mandomer who says that the Shiraim are Ma'akim. Namely, what it would mean is, in other words, that Rabbi Akiva would say, in Kippur Kila, if you're a hacker following all the procedures that it said over there in Parshas Asremot, then Kila, you're finished, you don't have to do anything else. Now, in Parshas Asremot, it doesn't say anything about the Shiraya. All it says is you have to do the 43 or 47 sprinklings in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh and the Parashas and the Mizrach HaZoh. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva would understand the Pasuk to be saying, once you did all those, then that's it. Kila, then you're finished, you don't have to do anything else. You didn't do the Shirayim, no big deal.
And the whole
That's the point. Rabbi Akiva would say, Shvichas Shirayim, according to that way of looking at it, Rabbi Akiva would say, pouring the Shirayim on the inside is not Ma'akir. because the chiva only if he once he completes everything that it said there to do inside the hechel, then that's it. Mikaper, then at that point he's accomplished kapara. Or the other way around. Kifer kila, he says, if he accomplished all the kaparas, if he did all the 43 sprinkling, then kila, then he's finished. He doesn't have to do anything.
That could include with the shirayim.
No, because that's because the shirayim doesn't say in that parasha. The shirayim, we know, we learn from elsewhere. We learn from other scripting. We learn from Rav Chaim
Kol
Yishpa, but not parasha.
Okay.
Whereas Rav Yehuda, according to this way of looking at it, would be saying, in kila kifer, if he's finished, meaning everything, including the shirayim, only then is he mechaper, and if not, then not. So it would come out, according to that way of looking at it, that Rabbi Yehuda, by learning the pasuk in kila kifer, would be saying the shirayim are mechaper.
Because you need the shirayim.
Because you need the shirayim, because otherwise it's otherwise not kila, otherwise he didn't finish everything. Okay. Besides that, also, there's another reason, anyway, rather than the Sfasemis says, why, according to Rabbi Akiva, kifer can't mean the shirayim anyway, aside from the fact that, as Rashi's saying, it doesn't say in that parasha. The fact is, we learned before, even according to the opinions who want to say shirayim are ma'akiv, they're not essentially in and of themselves part of the kapara. They're ma'akiv the kapara, according to that way of looking at it, but they themselves are not part of the kapara. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva, who's learning from the word im kifer, necessarily can't be including the shirayim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who's learning from the chila, it has to be completed, he might say that fine, but the shirayim are still essential in order to complete them. They're not part of the kapara, but they're still an essential thing that has to be done.
Because they're not part of the kapara?
Because there's definitely, everybody agrees that it's not part of the kapara. Even when we learned before, on Amud Aleph, when we learned yesterday about the whole issue of how we know exactly that the shirayim have to be poured in the first place, we talked about the idea the shirayim are definitely not part of the kapara. They may be ma'akiv the kapara, but they're not part of the kapara itself. The kapara itself is accomplished by the various drinks.
So I'm trying to understand
yeah.
the difference between...
Because there's a difference between something being the actual kapara itself versus something that is essential, that's ma'akiv the kapara, but it itself is not part of the kapara.
It's ma'akiv, you cannot say it's part of the kapara.
No, it's not. Kapara is it's not part of it, but it's ma'akiv. Without it, you know, I mean, I don't know.
It's
ma'akiv the kapara. In other words, the kapara has not been completed without it. But it itself is not part of the kapara. It itself is a necessary thing to complete. Therefore, the kapara that was accomplished by those 43 sprinklings is finished off and doesn't have to be redone. According to what we were discussing, we're dealing over here with the question, is the Shvichas Shirayim ma'akiv? We say every day in davening, and we said in our Mishnah, Shirayim Adam HaYishoyfech HaYishoy Ma'arovi, Imloy Nosam Le'ikiv. Now we're discussing, is there any opinion that says differently? So one way of looking at it, according to what we're saying over here, is that maybe Rabbi Yehuda would hold that. Rabbi Akiva, again, would be saying in Kippur, meaning if he did all the kapara that it says in the Stukim over there, and he did everything that can be described as kapara, then kila, then he's finished. And he doesn't need to do anything else. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would be saying in kila, and therefore the shrine have no effect. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda might be saying in kila, only if he completed everything that has to be done, including the shirayim. Because if we look at it, that he's saying that the shirayim are necessary in order for the kapara to be effective, it itself is not part of the kapara, but nevertheless, it has to be done. Then if not, then he wasn't the kapara. Okay. So we have Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yisrael ben Levi. One of them is saying
it makes the kapara effective, but it's
but
not,
it's not it itself part of the kapara. Right?
Like chemistry.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, like a catalyst, you could say, I guess.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah, okay. Because only the kapara is definitely only the zrikas adam. Yeah, drum over nefesh kapara. It's a zrika. What do you mean? According to the opinion that shvichas shirayim is not ma'akiv, then all it means is you missed out a mitzvah. If we say shvichas shirayim is ma'akiv, then it means without that, the kapara that was accomplished by those sprinklings has not actually been accomplished, and it has to be redone. Either way, it's not part of the kapara. One way of looking at it is it's not necessary at all. Without it, the korban is still 100% kosher. The other way of looking at it is it's not part of the kapara, but the kapara depends on it being done. Without it being done, the kapara has not taken effect. It's two ways of looking at it.
It's a catalyst.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what it is.
Okay. It's a chemistry thing. You have something that's involved in a chemical reaction,
it's
but it itself is not
reaction.
Part of the reaction. Okay, whatever. We're not having a fine spot over here, but whatever. Okay.
But it's
fine. Okay, it helps. It helps.
It helps.
Fine. But if somebody doesn't know what a catalyst is, then you first have to explain that to them. Okay, all right, whatever. So we have that one way of explaining it. And the other way of explaining it, again, was only Mashmo's Darshan Ikbinayu, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva are not actually disagreeing. Their disagreement is just how do we Darshan the Pesukim. Right, okay. Which one said which between Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yishur ben Levi? Istayim, the Rabbi Yishur ben Levi, who drama Shirayim the Mount. We can prove that Rabbi Yishur ben Levi is the one who says that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shirayim on Mount. Why is that? So Amar Rabbi Yishur ben Levi, the Divrei Ha'oimah Shirayim Ma'afin, because Rabbi Yishur ben Levi says like this, according to the opinion that the Shirayim are Ma'akiv, then what would happen? Let's say the Kohen Gadol did all of the 43 Masonis that he's supposed to do on Yom Kippur. Now let's say at that point the blood spilled. So if we say Shirayim aren't Ma'akiv, no problem. He did all the 43 sprinklings, we're good. But if we say Shirayim are Ma'akiv, then now you can't just shecht another power and just take the blood and pour it onto the yisoid, because that blood won't be shirayim. Shirayim of what? It's all the blood that you caught in the mizrah. No, what you have to do, therefore, is maybe power echad, so you have to bring a power, another power, umasko the tchil of a pin. And you start over again with the, matonis inside the heichel. You don't have to redo all the sprinklings. The ones that we said we learned before, we learned a while back, earlier in Amos after, that the ones that are in the Kodesh Kodashim are a unit of their own, and the ones in front of the Parochas are a unit of their own, etc. But he does have to redo the ones on the Mizrach above. And then the rest of it is Shirayim. So we see from that on the face of it that Rabbi Shrub and Levi holds, there's somebody who holds Shirayim on Ma'akiv. So that should answer the question. He's the one who understands Rabbi Yehuda to be saying Shirayim on Ma'akiv, and Rabbi Yechonon would be the one who says that not, that they're just arguing how to darshan the Sukkah. However, the question is, you can't necessarily prove anything from that, because also Rabbi Yechonon left life off Svara. And what do you think? Rabbi Yechonon doesn't agree with that Svara? That there is a Tana who holds Shirayim Ma'akiv. We find that Rabbi Yochanan says, in connection with the issue of doing avodah of a korban outside the azara, which later on, towards the end of the sefer, when we deal with that whole concept, we mention over there that Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan, Toner Rabbi Nechemia could give you a Shirayim Ma'akiv. Rabbi Nechemia, who says over there that if you were to pour the shirei hadam outside the azara, then a person would be chayav kares for it. So Rabbi Yochanan says, who is Rabbi Nechemia following in that? He's following the opinion that says the Shirayim Ma'akim. So we see Rabbi Yochanan also knows that there's somebody who says Shirayim Ma'akim.
So
that's the question. You're saying that you can prove that Rabbi Shurban Levi is the one who holds, Rabbi Yehuda says that, because he said there's a Tana who holds that, but Rabbi Yochanan also knows there's a Tana who holds that. So therefore, it still could be either one of them who says that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing on that one. Ella, no. So what do you have to understand when Rabbi Yochanan says that? It means kedivrei ha'omer v'lav lahani tanoi. All Rabbi Yochanan means is that yes, Rabbi Nechemia holds that way, but you should know Rabbi Nechemia does not hold like that opinion, but he's not necessarily referring to either Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan is saying you should know you have the opinion of Rabbi Nechemia that says Shirayim Ma'akiv. Not necessarily can we identify that with either of the opinions over here of Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yehuda. They may both disagree with him and say Shirayim are not Ma'akiv. Hachanami, the same thing according to Rabbi Shurban Levi. Kedivrei Ha'omer v'lav lahani tanoi. Not necessarily, when Rabbi Shurban Levi also mentions that there is a Tana who holds that, doesn't necessarily mean that he would identify that as Rabbi Yehuda. So the bottom line is, fine, there is definitely a Tana who holds like that. Namely, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that we see that Rabbi Nechemia makes a statement according to such an opinion. So at least Rabbi Nechemia holds of that concept, that Shirei Adam are massive. Maybe according to one way of looking at it, Rabbi Yehuda does also, but we don't know whether it's Rabbi Shurban Levi who understands Rabbi Yehuda that way, or whether it's Rabbi Yochanan who understands Rabbi Yehuda that way. So one of them does, but we don't know which one. Okay. We would like to know who understands Rabbi Yehuda which way. Because Rabbi Yehuda had said over here that I'm learning from Imkila Kippur, Imla Kippur, Imla Kippur, Imla Kippur, but also if you left out one of the matonis, you didn't accomplish anything. So does Rabbi Huda just mean I'm restating the same thing as Rabbi Akiva, I'm just darshaning it from a different culture? That would be mashmalas darshan ikiminayu. Or do I actually disagree with him on a substantive point that he holds shiraim on amakiv and I hold they all? Those are the two ways. That's Rabbi Yechonon's and Rabbi Shrovan Levi's way. We just don't know which of the two amiroyim explained it which way. We don't know who explained it this way. The bottom line is, anyway, as far as the actual halacha, we don't know. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that way or not? We don't know. From Rabbi Yehuda's own words, he's not clarifying whether he means that Shidayim am Akav or not. That's why we have two different ways of explaining it. Because he didn't actually mention the word Shidayim. He just said Shem Chisra Akav Mikol Matonis Le'at of Leifot, right? Shem Chisra Akav Mikol Matonis, one of the Matonis. So is he only referring to the Matonis, the 43 or 47 Matonis, or is he also including Shidayim as a Matonis? Yeah, okay. Okay. Fine. The bottom
is
he doesn't clarify. So we don't know. That's the point. That's the point of the argument between Rabbi Yechonon and Rabbi Shrovan Levi. And we don't know which one said which, as far as what Rabbi Yehuda holds.
If he, let's put it in the other way around. If he did not hold the Shirayim Akev, he would have said...
Not necessarily. Sometimes the Tanoim say something, and again, in their times, it's very clear what they meant, and afterwards, we're not sure what they meant. All right. So the bottom, the actual practical halacha is like the opinion that says that Shirayim are not Akev anyway. So that's it. When we say every day in davening, that's how it is.
And that's according to
Rav Akiva. What? No, if Shiraim was saying, that's what it means. Imloy Nosam Laikiv. If you didn't do that Shiraim, then it's not Akiv. You missed out doing a mitzvah, but the korban is still kosher. Okay.
But that's Rabbi Akiva.
That's a point to Rabbi Akiva, that's a point to Rabbi Akiva, and maybe also a point to Rabbi Shmuel, and maybe even a point to Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe even Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't disagree with that. Mishnah says.
So,
bottom of Nunvei Zamadei.
If you say that Rabbi Yehuda holds by, it's not Ma'akev, who holds that it is Ma'akev?
So far, the only one we know for sure is Rabbi Nechem. So therefore, Rav Nechemiah says that that a person poured out the Shirayim outside the Azara, he'd be high of Kares because the Shirayim are an essential part of the Azara. We're not counting names. Alright, Mishnah says, Chatois at Sibur v'Hayafid. Next, we're on to the Chatois of the Sibur, and the Chatois brought by a Yochid, and the Mishnah interjects, Elu en Chatois at Sibur. What do we mean by Chatois at Sibur? Meaning Rashi says, we already mentioned some Chatois at Sibur. We mentioned the ones of Yom Kippur, we mentioned the Parim and Siyam and Siyam. Which other ones do we need to list? They are, Seirei Rosh HaChadoshim v'Shalmayim, the goats that are brought for Chatos every Rosh Chodesh, and the ones that are brought every Yom.
That's a Mishnah we read every day?
This is a Mishnah we say every day, but when we understand, when the Mishnah says, and when the Chatoris of Sibur Vayach, the Elohim Chatoris of Sibur, Siri Rosh HaVavacham, Shalmayadis, the reason why the Mishnah has to specify that is, the Mishnah means, in other words, we already mentioned some Chatoris of Sibur, Elohim Chatoris of Sibur, what are the Chatoris of Sibur that we have yet to talk about, which we haven't yet dealt with, they are Siri Rosh HaVavacham, Shalmayadis, which are ordinary Chatoris, they're done like an ordinary Chatos, the blood is put on the outer Mizeach, none of it is brought into the Hefel, and the meat is eaten by the Koyanim, the Koyanim is not burned outside the
city. I was always wondering why Elu.
That's what it means. Elohein, right, that's what I mean. Elohein, as opposed to, these are the ones that have yet to be discussed.
As opposed to the ones we already discussed.
Okay. They all again have to be shechted on the north side of the Azara, because again, we've learned that a chatos has to be shechted on the north side. We said it was not applied to all chatos. The kibble dom of the receiving of the blood, also has to be done on the klisharis on the north side, same idea. The dom and tone, aromatones al abakronis. The blood has to be put with four applications on the four corners. Hey, Sad, how does he go about? How does he do that? All of a kevesh, the Kohen walks up the ramp of the Mizeach, ufana l'soviv, and he turns towards the soviv. Now, the soviv is a ledge around the middle of the Mizeach. If you want, you can... No, it's not the Yisod. It's here. You can take a look at a picture over here. You want to come a little closer.
It's the top one?
It's here. The one on the bottom, the one that goes along the bottom over here is the Yisod.
Then you have, you see there's a red line and an AMA above the red line. There's another ledge. There's another, the red line.
The red line here.
The red line. Above it, an AMA above it, you have another inset. You have another place where the wall of the mezeach up until that point is going straight up. Then it's inset one AMA and then it continues up. It forms a ledge. That ledge is the sofa. And it's called the Sovid, by the way, because it goes completely around the Mizbeach, as opposed to the Yesod, which we're going to learn later on, only goes around two sides of the Mizbeach. Okay, so again.
That side, by the way, is facing the
this side over here is facing the Hay. So, okay, Ola Bakevish, he goes up the ramp, Ufana La Sovid, and he turns towards the Sovid. Now, they don't show it in this picture over here, so I have some other pictures for the purpose. This I found online, but there are better pictures actually that they have in the Mesivta Gemara, where you can see over here that there's actually from the Kevesh there branches off a narrower ramp that goes to the right from which you can go up onto the Sovid. Because the Sovid itself is a few amas below the top of the Mizbeach.
Yeah.
So if you climbed up the Kevesh, that would get you to the top of it.
Yes.
But you're supposed to be standing a few amas below it so that you can reach the corners.
Okay.
So you can't, now you can't be standing on the ground because the corners are several amas off the ground. Therefore, that's why you have the clover there. That's why you have this ledge. But you have a narrower ramp that branches off the main ramp. So you start going up the main ramp. Then you branch off to your right over here and go to the clover. That's what it means, all about clever shofan of the clover.
And then from there you go.
And then from there you start going around the clover, as we're going to look.
From right or left?
What?
Here. Can I reach it the regular way?
How would you reach it the regular way? The regular tevesh goes to the top of the mezeach. That's the three amas above the surface.
So he starts on the ramp, and then he walks.
What are you not understanding over here? He starts walking up the main ramp, but if he went all the way to the top of the ramp, he'd be on the top, he'd be on the roof of the mezeach. He needs to be on the surface, on this ledge, which runs around the middle. The whole mezeach, well, you're going to have a machlokes in the next parak, actually, whether it was three or ten amas tall. The halacha is that it was ten. He's supposed to go to the middle, right. So therefore, he needs a ledge, he needs a ramp that goes up to the middle, that branches off the main ramp and goes.
How
would it jump down? 3 hours. So it wouldn't be respectful and technical. Okay. So all about Kevesh, or funnel of Sovid, he goes up the main Kevesh, then he turns onto this branching off
on the right.
Ramp that on the right that goes towards the Sovid. Now he goes like this. You have a rule, Rashi says, we're going to learn about that in the next Kevesh. Kol pinis shasapona, whenever you're turning, you should always be turning towards the right. Now, the Kevesh is on the south side of the Mizbeach. So when he goes up that small ramp, the Kevesh is on the south. You should always be moving towards your right. So therefore now, he goes up the Kevesh. Now he's standing, he goes up, he's on the foot. When he's going to be moving to his right,
the left goes around the middle.
But what it means is, therefore, he's going to be walking around the Mizbeach to his right, meaning he's going to be going around the Mizbeach counterclockwise.
Right.
He's facing the Mizbeach because the Sovid is a ledge and armor wide, so he's walking with his face and body turned towards the
Kevesh.
So he's going, and then, right, he's walking along his side, yeah, going, continuing to go towards his right. So therefore, he goes around the Mizbeach counterclockwise. First he comes to the southeastern corner, Mizrachis Tzvainis, then the northeastern corner, Tzvainis Ma'arabis, the northwestern corner, Ma'arabis Tzvainis, and then the southwestern corner. So he goes counterclockwise around the Mizbeach. Okay. Worth pointing out, by the way, that in Chassidus, in a number of places, it talks about the deeper idea that all of our Kevesh are one of the Sovev. Among those, in general, the general trend is that Sovev means the Ora Sovev, the Ora Sovev Kalam. And therefore, all of our Kevesh is the idea that a person humbles himself and a person controls. Is yet one idea of it is brought in Lakota Torah, then in Parashat Pinchas. In other words, that when a person Kevesh, like he presses himself down and humbles himself and then controls his Yetzirah or whatever, Ufana La Sovid, then he can turn and reach the light of the Sovid, the light of Sovid Kalam, the light beyond the Malach Kalam. Okay. There's also actually a sticker where the Friedrich could ever analyze is also the order in which he goes around the corners over here. He says he starts out in Dremis Mizrachis, the southeast, where you have the warmth of the south and the light in the east, where the sun starts shining in the morning. So like once you reach where you work on bringing yourself up to that level, you have a warmth of Chayas and you have a light of Elikos. from that, you're able to go to Tzvonis. You're able to go deal with the northern forces, the forces of Tumah, as we talked about. Fine, but it's still, but it's northeast now. So now he's dealing with the northern, the Tumadic forces. He has the ability to do that. From there, he goes to Meirev, Meloshin Erev, Meloshin Orev, Meloshin Sweetness, because now that he's able to Orev means sweetness. So therefore he's then able to give Hashem a pleasure that he's able to work on the Sidracha and conquer.
He sells it.
Well, it also
it's also a dollar.
Well, okay, but the word Orev means sweet. Shiri Ajama Yeshua Haisad Juanis, when the left over of the blood, after he applied it.
And then it's when
the last one was not Rovas Juanis. The last one, he comes to the southwestern corner. Tosfos actually discusses in the next parak that when in our Mishnayos over here, we're not talking about these little ramps that came off the Kevish, the one that where the branched off to the Sovereign, and the other one that we saw in the picture over there. We're going to deal with them. The Gemara is going to tell us about them in the next parak. But Tosfos actually discusses over there on the face of it, according to Rashi, there was none to come down off the Sovereign. So according to Rashi, it would come out that after he reached the southwestern corner, he went all the way around, he would now turn back and go exactly the way he came in order to get back to the ramp he started off on and come down it. Tosfos says...
There's no way.
What? Because you should always go to the right, because the right is more important than the left. And the right is chesed, and therefore you should always be turning towards the right.
When you turn to the right,
out of respect, yeah, but
when you turn to the right, you turn one time to the right, and all the rest to the left.
No. Remember, he's walking like this, so he's walking like this around the Mizbeach. He's walking like this, he gets to this corner, he turns this way, he's still continuing to go to the right all the way around the Mizbeach. He's walking like this. This is the Mizbeach in front of it. This is the wall of the Mizbeach in front of him. He's standing on the Kevesh over here. And then he's walking over here, and then he's walking over here, and he's walking over here. So he's constantly moving to his right. All the way around the Mizbeach. And when he reaches a corner, he turns the corner, and he's still moving to his right.
Oh, yeah.
But okay, anyway, according to Rashi, Tosfos comments that according to Rashi, it would come out that once he's done, he has to go all the way back around, clockwise, to come down the way he came up. Tosfos themselves learns that no,
so
it was...
always facing the Mizbeach.
Yeah. Right. No, not necessarily backwards. It just means that now he's going to be walking the way that now instead of walking this way now that he's done, he came to the corner, now he's going to have to walk this way in order to go back. Tosfos themselves says that no, there was actually another ramp that led down from the Sogra back to the main ramp and back to the floor, so that way he doesn't have to go all the way around. Right, either way, he's facing the bank.
Always.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, out of respect, yeah.
Okay. That's why he was turning to the right. I thought he was facing...
No. The point about turning to the right, that also explains, for example, why it is that the ramp of the Mizbeach had to be on the south side in order that when you're turning to the right, the first side you're walking along is the east. So the Pasuk in Yechezkel describes the Mizbeach, Maleseu Pnois Kodim. Literally means the way to go up there faces the east, which would sound like it means that the ramp faces the east. But no, what it means is the ramp should be situated in such a way that when you turn towards the right, the first direction you get to is the east.
So that
meaning, therefore, it has to be on the south. Right. Okay. Fine. Once he comes... Okay. Once... I'll explain more detail after the time. Okay. All right. So once he comes down off the cliff, if Shiri Ajama Yeshevachai said to him, if he would pour the remainder of the blood on the southern side of the back, which again, the point we'll learn later on. We'll talk about tomorrow what the exact shape of the Yisod was. But basically, there wasn't necessarily a Yisod along the whole southern side, but there was one at least in the corner over there. They would go over to that corner and pour it over there. And we'll learn in the Gemara why after the southern side. Now the meat of the korban could be eaten inside the kloyim, inside the curtains or the walls of the azara or of the chotzer or the azara. Lezichron, we talked about at the beginning of the parak. Pharisee Thoreau wants to say that maybe the wording of these Mishnayot goes back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore they use the word kloyim. Because otherwise they should have used the word lefnim hazara or something. Okay, whatever. The zichre kloyim means the curtains. So in the Mishkan, they had curtains around the chotzer,
right,
around the courtyard. In the Beit Mikdash, they had walls surrounding the hazara. Okay. So they could eat it anywhere within the kloyim. The zichre kohuna only by
walls.
I mean the walls, yeah. The zichre kohuna only by meo kohenim. Not so obvious. Later on, we're going to talk about kodshim kalvim, where male and female kohenim. But here, in fact, Rashi mentions that you have, again, the pasuk that we quoted before, Koyanim Achatet Oysa, only Koyanim... Occasionally you have women for... It's true, usually not. The Gemara actually has an expression, but you could have that a woman could come into the Azara, for example, to do smicha on her carbon, or for various other necessary purposes. So it could happen. But that's not the point. The point is, the reason... It could happen, yeah. In other words, it was allowed. It wasn't like it was completely off limits to women. Practically speaking, you usually didn't, and therefore the Gemara has an expression, but it could happen because it was allowed to happen because they could come in there for smicha and for other necessary purposes. Okay. No, the Gemara asks in Kiddush in connection with the story over there about a person using Kaddish and Kal, about a person using Kaddish to do the Kaddish a woman. All right, anyway. Rashi mentions over here, no, there's a different way that we know that a chatas can only be eaten by the male Kohen. The reason is, again, the pasuk that we quoted before, Kohenim Achate Oysa, only Kohenim who are suitable to do the Avodah are allowed to eat from the Kohen, allowed to eat from these Kohen, allowed to eat from the chatas, and women aren't suitable to do the Avodah. So the zichrik of women, yeah. B'chol machol, they can eat. Okay, Neil, come on. They can eat the meat prepared however they want. Meaning, Rashi says, as opposed to, we learn at the end of the parak, the korban pesach can only be eaten roasted. Other korbanos, they can eat whatever way they like to eat them. That's why we stress b'chol machol. They could roast them. They could fry them. They could fry them with oil. Yeah, why not? They could probably make hot dogs out of them if they wanted to. I don't know. Okay, whatever. B'chol ma'achol, they can eat it however they want. L'yoyim v'layla. B'chol ma'achol, and prepare it any way they want. L'yoyim v'layla, they have a day and a night, meaning the korban was brought during the day. They have the rest of that day. The zifas korban, b'chol ma'achol, eaten and prepared however they want. L'yoyim v'layla, a day and a night, meaning the day the korban was brought and the following night. Ad chatzos, until chatzos. Which brings from the Gemara at the very beginning of Brachas, that is actually the first Mishnah of Brachas, that in principle it should really be to Alois HaShachar, but the Chachamim made Zera, could have a Hayachas to Adam in Azera, in order that it puts a distance appropriate for Avera, because otherwise if you're allowed to eat it to Alois HaShachar, you might get careless and leave over from it, or you might go beyond Alois HaShachar, and then the person is Chayav Korek, so we didn't know there. So it applies in general, so it's applied to Kriyashma, right? So yeah. No, so therefore, the Chachamim got the deadline from Alois HaShachar to Chatzos HaLaila. Right. After Chatzos HaLaila, the Rabbanan in Alati. The Rais is Alois HaShachar. Okay. Fine. The Gemara struggle. Heichi Ovi. How exactly did he do this that we're saying that he applied the blood of the Chatzos to the corner of the Mizbeach? How did he do it exactly? Now, it's interesting, Rashi actually on the Mishnah learns, and in more detail later on in the Gemara, later on Nerdal Rav Bey, Rashi learns that the blood was actually applied to the top of the keret. We're going to learn later on that the krones were actually hollow on top. They were made, each one of the krones is a box-shaped, it's a box-shaped thing on the corner, on each corner of the bit. They were a box-shaped thing, but they were open on top. They were like an open box. They were shaped like an open cubic box. Yeah. So what? No, it was made out of stone. They built it to begin with. The Rambam described later on when we learn about how the Mizbeach was built, where basically they poured concrete, so the Gemara mentions over there, and the Rambam expands on it that they'd put in wooden plugs in the place where there's supposed to be hollow areas or empty areas or whatever, in order that way when the concrete dries they come out. Anyway, so Rashi learns that the idea is the reason why they were hollow is this way the blood of the chatzos actually drips into there and eventually filters down to the bottom of the bag.
They had a conduit from the top.
Yeah,
to the bottom.
According to other Mepharshim, and this works a little more straightforward with the Gemara that we're going to learn over here, it just means that it went along the outside. It went along the Tosfos, for example, learns that it means it went along the outside of the keren, along the outside surface. Alright, so Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar disagree exactly how it was done. Chad ama noisin ama elach ama. One of them says what it means is, so the Kohen is standing by the corner. He can put the blood anywhere within one ama of the actual corner. So you have, let's say, the actual corner is here. So he's standing at this corner. He's standing on the corner of the site over here. He doesn't necessarily have to put the blood on the exact corner. He can put it within an amma on this side or an amma on this side. Yeah. Well, the point, one second. The point is it says to put it on the chronic. Now, the word keren has two meanings. The word keren can mean the corner, as in where you have a right angle. The word keren can also mean those four things that stick out on the top of the mezeach. So therefore, so in that case, that entire cube can be called the keren. So therefore, so one opinion over here is saying that as long as you, now each of those was an amma, each of the chronis was an amma by an amma. So therefore, the one opinion is saying that you put it someplace on the keren, meaning someplace within an amma of the corner, you're placing it on the keren in the sense of on that cube. Someplace on that cube. And the other opinion is saying that you put it, the other one says that you go and apply it downward, literally on the corner, but in other words, according to that, it doesn't necessarily have to be on the actual protrusion, one amma above the mezeach. It could be anywhere on the top half of the mezeach along the corner. So if this is the wall of the mezeach over here, it doesn't have to be on the keren, which is sticking up over here. It can be anywhere along the corner, or it can be anywhere along the edge, according to the second opinion, can be anywhere along the edge going down from there. No. The first opinion was you can have an amma horizontally either way, but it has to be on the keren, it has to be on that protrusion, but within an amma from each side. Horizontally. This opinion is saying it has to be dapka on the edge, but you have vertical room. You don't have to do it dapka at the top. It can be anywhere on the top half until the chotah sikra, because as we learned before, you have the chotah sikra, and we'll learn later on in the Gemara, you have the chotah sikra to mark off where the place where...
So
where
either a horizontal amma or a vertical amma?
No, vertically it's more than an amma, yeah. Okay.
Vertically it's more than an amma?
Yeah, because you have the entire height from the top of the keren all the way down to the chotah sikra, which is five amma, to say. So, I'll leave the Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon for now. If we go according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, whose opinion we're going to deal with later on in the sugya, Da'amar, he asked me in an aspect of El of Gufa Shokeren, where he holds that the actual mitzvah of doing the blood of the chatas has to be davka on the goof of the keren, meaning on the actual amma by amma protrusion.
On the top.
Yeah. Well then. The Kulama, let's see, then there would be no argument. Everybody would agree that it has to adapt to be, that everybody would agree then that according to him, you don't need both. It doesn't have to be on the protrusion and on the corner of the protrusion. It's fine as long as it's anywhere on the one by one amma of that protrusion. Again, according to Rashi, it would be the proper place to do it is on the top, so it trickles in. According to Tosfos, it would be any place on the outside of it.
That's
according to the laws of Rebshin. Ki pligi, I'll leave it there. The machloikas between Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar is within Rebbe, which again, we're going to deal with later, Rebbe. We're going to deal with later. We're going to bring a braita that presents Rebbe's and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Namely, where we're going to see that Rebbe holds that as long as it's someplace, mechosa sikro lamayla, as long as it's above the red line in the middle of the mezbeach, then you're good. So therefore, so Marsavar, so one opinion between the Amiroyim, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar holds, within Rebbe's opinion, he holds Amma Eilach, Amma Eilach, Keneged Keren. He says, fine. What Rebbe is saying is, again, like this, you have the protrusion of the Keren on the top. Then you can imagine as though that Keren was extended downward along the height of the Mizbeach, down to the Chotah Sikra. Therefore, in other words, that opinion would say that what you have is, you have a space, an Amma on this side, an Amma this side, five Ammas in height, the Keren plus another four Ammas below it, in which the blood can be put anywhere in that area, and you're good.
On two sides of the keren, up down five amas.
Okay, so maybe what we let's bring up one of those pictures of the mezeach again, and try to understand it that way a little better. Okay, so you have the keren sticking up over there, right?
That's one amma.
That's one amma high. Then you have below it, there's another three amas down to the sovah, and then you have an amma below that down to the chotah sikra.
Right.
Rebbe is saying, according to one understanding of Rebbe, he says, fine, you don't have to do it dafka on the keren, dafka on that thing that sticks up one amma. That's only the below the Rebbe Shimon. But he would say, that's so one way of looking at it is that Rebbe would be saying, It can be anywhere within the chutas. It can be anywhere above the chutas sikra, fine. But one way of looking at it is that it has, that it can also be, in other words, according to one way of looking at it, Rebbe is standing on Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon. Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon is saying that it can be anywhere, an amma this way and an amma this way, because that's the width of the keren. And Rebbe is saying, fine, I'm extending that one amma this way and one amma this way all the way down to the chutas ikra. So you have, according to that way of looking at it, Rebbe would allow you to put it anywhere here or anywhere here or anywhere here.
The chutas ikra is where?
The chutas ikra is down over here, in the middle of the
red,
the red line. The red, chutas ikra was painted onto the mezeach. The red line surrounded the mezeach.
Why was it there?
Because that's the, we'll have the window no joint, and we'll have to distinguish between blood that goes on the top half and blood that goes on the bottom half. That was the boundary.
So
the first opinion of Rebbe is saying that he takes what Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon is saying, and it doesn't have to be on the exact corner, on the exact mathematical corner. It can be an amma this way and an amma this way, because it's someplace on the body of the keren. And Rebbe is saying, imagine as though the keren actually extends all the way down to the chutas ikra. Therefore, you wind up with an area 5 ammas tall by 1 amma this way and 1 amma this way, in which the blood can be applied.
And the other
opinion, Bechad Omar Sava, where the other opinion of the Amoroyim holds, Keneged Chuda Ein Tfeiloi. He would say, fine, Rebbe is allowing you to do it all the way down to the Chuta Sikra, not like Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, who says it has to be on the Keren, on the protrusion, and Amma by Amma at the top. However, it does have to be, according to Rebbe, on the edge. So those are two ways of understanding Rebbe.
One is
that it's Davka on the edge, but anywhere. One is that it can be 1 amma this way and 1 amma this way from the edge, from the corner. And the other one says, dafka on the edge, but you have a 5 amma height in which to do it. Right. Okay. Nathan, says, I have a contradiction as far as, well, we'll see. We'll see. A braita says, chatoris ha-tzibur v'ha-yachid keitzad matan zaman, when you have the chatos of the tzibur and the chatos of the yachid, how is the blood of them applied to them there? Oh, your oil of kevish upon a server. Again, he goes up to the kevish. He turns to the server on that little ramp that we saw. Obol of Ken join this mizrachis. He goes to the southeastern corner, which again is the first corner that he gets to. The tovel be'es boy ha'yumonis, ha'yumenis should be yamin. He dips with the finger of his right hand, because David Avoid has to be done with the right hand, as you learned earlier in the chapter. And specifically, Hamyumenes should be a min. Specifically, he uses the most expert finger among the most of his right hand, meaning, in other words, his index finger, because that's the finger that you can most easily do things, that you can most easily do tasks with, is your index finger. Rashi says, Hamyumenes means Esbar to Gilul Malacha, the one that you usually do work with, Veloy Shai's voice, and not the other one yet. So he takes the index finger of his right hand, Minadom Shel Mizrach, and he dips it in and takes out some of the blood of the Mizrach. V'choymer v'gudloy milamaylo v'etzvoy k'tana milamata. Then he choymer it, which Rashi says choymer means he presses it, with his thumb and with his little finger. So Rashi actually learns that choymer means he pulls along the blood downward. This way, you want as much as possible of the blood that got on his finger to go on the mizbeach. So Rashi understands that basically what it means is he presses them together like this, and that way he can press off as much as possible of the blood to go on the actual mizbeach.
So the blood is on
his index finger, but he uses the other two fingers to like kind of press it and make sure it's the thumb and the little finger.
So it goes like that.
Right. The Rambam apparently has a different gear service and a different explanation that it means he uses his thumb and his middle finger. And so they talk about, again, different possibilities. Does it mean he does similar to that, also a triangle, but he does using his middle finger?
Because he dips with the index.
Yeah, but you can still do it. You still could do like this.
How can you do it?
There's no blood on these two. No, the point is, the blood is on his index finger.
Right.
One way of understanding the Rambam is it means he goes like this. Again, he uses these two fingers to make sure that all the blood, to press on the index finger, to make sure that none of the blood drips off, that none of it gets on his clothing or whatever. Another understanding of the Rambam is he means that if you're going along the edge, then it means you use the other two fingers to guide it. You put like one finger on this side, and you imagine like, for example, let's say this is the wall of the mizbeach over here. He wants to go exactly on the corner. So he puts one finger over here and one finger over here in order to help guide his finger exactly along the middle. Okay, anyway. We know that they have different explanations, Rashi and Rambam. Okay, anyway, so that's what he does. And then he goes and applies the blood going downward along the edge, along the corner, along the edge of the keren. ad shemachalak kol adam shabes, until he finishes off all the blood that's on his finger, because the rule anyway is, that Amman points out from other Gemaras, that the blood, that any blood that's left over on his finger is possible for the next, is possible for the next application anyway. In fact, we learned earlier in the Masechta what the Kohen would do between applications, is he would wipe whatever blood is left on his finger, he'd wipe it on the edge of the Mizra. And that way it trickles out, and he carries the Mizra with him, obviously. Okay. So fine, so he does that. The chen kokeren and the keren, and he repeats the same process by each of the other crops. So the point is that this braisa is saying that you have to daf gedura on the corner. So again, if you say that Rebbe means that daf has to be done on the corner, then fine, this braisa is according to Rebbe. But if you say this braisa, if you say that according to the beloved of Shimon, you could do it anywhere on the thing that sticks up, on the protrusion. And according to Rebbe, you also could, and you even have further down a little bit of the sitra. So what does the braisa mean? You just have to do it on the corner. It wouldn't go like either of them. The answer is hachakama, fine. But what the braisa means is mitzvah b'chodah, fine. The ideal way to do the mitzvah, according to everybody, is to do it on the exact corner, on the exact edge. But even if you, the braisa doesn't necessarily, isn't saying that necessarily it must be done that way. If you were to get the blood someplace within an amma of the edge, then you're still okay. Then you'd still be good. So the braisa is not contradicting either of the understandings of that. Okay. My Rebbe or my Rebbe Elazar of Shimon, where do we see Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar of Shimon's opinions on this subject? Like this, Titania, we learn in a braisa. When we talk about blood that has to go on the top half of the bath, we mean it has to go any place above the chutah sikra, so the chatas behemah and oila sa'oif. According to everybody. No, everybody said that we talked before about the shirai. No, we talked about before, if you put it on the wrong part of the mizeah, according to Shmuel, the carbon is kosher, you just can't eat it, and according to Rabbi Yechon, it's completely possible. That's a different issue.
Okay.
But when we say Domim HaYonim, that means they have to be Mechut HaSikra or Lamaila, above the red line that runs around the middle of the mizeah. Domim HaTachon and Tomim Mechut HaSikra or Lamaila, and blood that has to go on the bottom half, Chatas Oif, and most animal carbonus. They have to go mechot asikro lamasa, and they have to go davka below the red line. Divrei Rebbe, that's how Rebbe understands it. Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, remember, med varam amurim ba'ola sa'if. Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon says, when is that talking about? When you say that you can do it anywhere on the top half of the mizbeach, that's talking about an ola sa'if. An ola sa'if, the blood goes on the top half. It doesn't say anything about an ola sa'if that it has to be on the corners. So Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon says, fine, it can be anywhere on the top half of the mizbeach. Aval b'chatas behema, but when it comes to a chatas behema, which is the other type of korban where the blood goes on the top half, since the pasuk mentions kronos, he asma ein nafes el agufa shel keren, and can only be done on the actual body of the keren, on the actual protrusion that sticks up one amma by one amma by one amma above the roof of the mizbeach. So those are the two opinions, therefore. So we see that Rebbe holds it can go anywhere from the chuppah sikra of the mizbeach. So again, according to one way of, between Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar, one opinion understood it to mean that Rebbe agrees it has to be someplace below the keren, but it doesn't, so it can't be too far away from the corner, but it can be anywhere within an amma of the corner, because that's still below the keren. And according to the other opinion, it does have, it can be anywhere above the chuppah sikra, but that has to be along the actual Amar Rav Abba, my time of the Rebbe. So Rav Abba says, what's the Rebbe's reason? Where does the Rebbe get this idea that you can do it anywhere, not just on the front? No, never mind that. No. This that Rebbe is saying, you can do, it doesn't have to be dafka on the keren, as in the actual protrusion above the mizbeach. You can do it all the way down to the chuppah sikra. Where is Rebbe getting that from? Rav Elazar of Shimon is saying it has to be on the keren. That makes sense, because our kohen is on the mizbeach. Where is Rebbe getting the idea that kronos improves all the way down to the chuppah sikra?
He thinks that the keren is
No, because the fact is, the pasuk says, I mean, mathematically, yes, the word keren can mean a corner like that, where two planes meet. But in Torah terminology, the keren is something there, I mean the actual protrusion. So where is Rebbe getting the idea that we can extend it downward? So it's like this, dichtiv, because you have a pasuk in Yechezkel when it describes the... Yechezkel is not telling us the halacha so much, he's describing the third Beis HaMikdash, what it's going to be like, and in fact, the Mizbeach that he describes, they built almost exactly like it, the second Beis HaMikdash. So the second Beis HaMikdash was built partially the way the first one was built, and partially the way the third one is going to be built, in Hayat Yamenu. Because the idea is basically that the Yechezkel gave his Nebuah, and Ilu Zochu, they would have built the final Beit Hamikdash, and that would have been that. Since they weren't Zochu, then therefore, so many details of Yechezkel's Nebuah were unclear to them, so they couldn't follow them. But the ones that were clear to them, they were able to follow. This is how the Rambam summarizes it in Hilchos Beis HaMechidah. The description of the Mizbeach and the Yechezkel is fairly clear, and therefore they were able to follow it. And the Nevi'im of that time told them to do it that way. So the Yechezkel describes, Vahahar'el Arba'am, Yechezkel describes the Har'el, meaning that the top portion of the Mizbeach, above the Soviv, it actually says generically, Hahar'el means the Mizbeach. Yechezkel uses two terms. Har'el literally means the mountain of Hashem. There's two terms that Yechezkel uses over there in the description. He calls it Ariel, meaning the lion of Hashem, because of the fire on the back is in the shape of a lion, and he calls it Har. Yeah, in the first place of Mekdash, it was in the shape of a lion.
But smoke?
The actual fire, the actual fire itself. It was a net. It was a Bederach net. Like I mentioned in Yuma, there were a number of properties that this fire had that were very unusual. It was actually a tangible thing. It didn't produce smoke. Yeah, in Yuma. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the second base method, it was in the shape of a dog. Yeah. Okay. So Yechezkel calls it the Ariel. He also calls it the Har'el, which means the mountain of Hashem. Anyway, the Har'el Arba Amos. So he says the Har'el is four Amos. From the Ariel and above, he says that the Kronos are four. So the question is, what do you mean? Arba Amos, who to have you? What do you mean? The Kronos are not four Amos tall. Each of the Kronos is one by one Amos. So what does he mean? His description it doesn't come out that the... No, well, there's also... It doesn't mean... The question isn't whether the Kronos... Question is the question is what do you mean arba amos baharel arba amos? Neither the height nor the width of the mizbeach, as Yechezkel was describing it, is four amos. The height he describes there as being 10 amos, and the width he describes as being 28 amos. So where does four amos come in? What does he mean?
10 by 28.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see a more detailed description of it in the next paragraph. We'll deal with that. The point is that when he says Harel Arba Amos, what does he mean? It's four Amos. What four Amos? What are you talking about? Four Amos. Okay. Elmar of Arba, Umakim Kronos Arba. It means the space of the Kronos was four Amos. The Kronos themselves take up four Amos. Because if each keren is one by one amos, then it means altogether in the aggregate they take up four square amos.
Each one
is one by one. So together they take up. No, but the problem is
one on one side and one on the other.
That's the question. Mokum kronis galut have you? Okay, but the space of the kronis, you can't describe it as four because if you measure them as bare. So when I said 28 just now, so yeah, the top of the mizbeach was 28 by 28 amos. If you subtract on each side the mokum akronis, you're left with 26 by 26. You can't say that you have if you measure the mizbeach north to south or east to west, you're going to find you have one amma of the keren, 26 amma of empty space, and an amma of the keren totaling 28. So you can't say that the mokum akronis equals four because no matter how you measure it, it takes up two, not four. So what does it mean? Ella ema reshus kronis dalet. No, what Rabba Abba means to say, and this is where Rebbe is getting his opinion, the reshus, the territory that's associated with the amos is four, with the kronis is four amos. Another meaning, this is what Rebbe is saying. This that Rebbe is saying, that you're able to apply the blood of the chattas, which is supposed to be on the keren, all the way down to the chuta sikra, means, in other words, he said, you have the keren itself, you have the actual protrusion above the roof of the mizbeach, and that one amma high, the next four amas below that, three amas to the sovereign, and one amma below it, is still in reshus kronos, is still in the domain of the kronos, and it's considered an extension of the kronos, and therefore you can put the blood there, he said.
But Yechezkel doesn't talk about
Rishus Kronos. But Yechezkel uses the expression Har El Arba Amos, and that's what he means. That when he says it's four Amos, he doesn't mean the total height, he doesn't mean the total width. He means counting downward from the Kronos, you have four Amos that are considered to be part of the domain of the Kronos.
One and three.
What? No, one for the Kronos plus another four, five total.
Oh yeah.
So the Rishus Kronos Abba, the Rishus that the Kronos takes up in the space of the Mizbeach, below them is another four.
Beyond the Kronos.
Beyond the Kronos themselves, right. So you have a total of five. Yeah, I mean, that's not pshat. I mean, the Meforshim on the Pasuk explain that pshat means, in other words, is that above the Harel, meaning the Soviet, you have four Amos remaining of the height of the Mizbeach. So you have three Amos total roof of the Mizbeach, and another Amma of the height of the Kruppin. So that's Pasuk of pshat. But the Gemara is understanding it here differently, I guess, because we didn't need Yechezkel to tell us that. We knew that, right?
Okay.
That's the point. In other words, Yechezkel is teaching us the halacha that otherwise we wouldn't have known. Reshus Kronis Arba. That's how Rebbe understands. Again, he's not like we said before in the Masechta. Up until then, it was Halacha Mishmati. And Yechezkel is coming and recording for us in a pocket. I mean, maybe in fact, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, who disagrees with this concept, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, in fact, might understand the pocket the way the other Mefarshim do. That it just means that the pocket is just informing us how much space there is above the side. All right. Anyway, to be continued tomorrow, Beis Hashem.